good to have you here with us. Thank you for taking this time out of your day and out of your week to come and just hang out with us. We're so glad that you would do that. Thanks again to those that came last night and were able to be a part of just being sending our students to be able to go and minister to those in D.C. We're praying now for those that are going to go. We're praying for those that they're going to meet. And man, I just believe that God's got something great in store for both sides of that when that week gets here in July. So we're just praying right now, and we'd ask you to continue to pray for them and just be looking forward to what God's going to do through that. So thank you for being here. Thanks for being here part of our series called Prayer. That's where we're at right now. We started off last week really talking about the fact that so many of us don't pray. And that prayer is one of the most powerful things that we have access to. It's the one thing, it's the thing that changes us, and it changes our circumstance when we ask God to do that, and when it lines up with who He is and what He wants for us. And so we believe that it's important that we pray, and that it's for all of us. I mean, prayer is just basically communicating with God. It's very simple to define. We defined that last week. But many of us don't do it, and we don't do it because we're afraid that it doesn't matter, and we've got all sorts of reasons. But here's what we know, that when we come to God, we need to be honest, just gut-level honest with Him. Let him know us. He doesn't want us to fake anything, to put on any airs. He just wants us to be real with Him. He wants us to talk to Him in our prayers about what matters to us. If it matters to us, listen, it matters to Him. And so we need to be able to do that. He wants us to pray continually. To always be looking at our circumstances, be looking at where we are and praying for ourselves and for those around us. To be praying that God moves in those areas and in those lives. And so we want to remember to do that. And here's the key, though, to prayer. We need to do all of those things, but we need to listen for His response. We need to be able to make sure that it's communication, it's a conversation, that it's not just us telling God what to do, but it's us listening to Him and what He wants. So it needs to be two-way street. And so today, last week we kind of set those standards. Today we're going to look at one of the questions that I think we've all asked, if we're honest, at some point. We've asked, why, God, didn't you answer my prayer? Why didn't you answer that prayer for me? And so when we, if we all have answered that or asked that question, I'm sure that we would all like to have an answer to it. And so today I want us to look at some reasons why God doesn't answer our prayers. Now, one of the great theologians of our time wrote a song about unanswered prayer, and I want to read that to us today. This theologian had a great perspective on it. Here's what he wrote. Just the other night at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into an old high school flame, and as I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but to think of the way things used to be. She was the one that I wanted for all times, and each night I'd spend praying that God would make her mine. And if He'd only grant me this wish I wished back then, I'd never ask for anything again. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, that just because He doesn't answer doesn't mean He doesn't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. She wasn't quite the angel that I remembered in my dreams, and I could tell that time had changed me. In her eyes, too, it seemed. We tried to talk about the old days. There wasn't much we could recall. I guess the Lord knows what He's doing after all. As she walked away and I looked at my wife, and then and there I thanked the good Lord for the gifts in my life. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, that just because he may not answer, doesn't mean He doesn't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Some of God's greatest gifts are all too often unanswered. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Yes, that great theologian was the one and only Garth Brooks. But we prayed. Don't raise your hand because you might get smacked. But listen, we've all prayed that prayer, right? God would make that one ours, you know, that one girl or that one guy. We've all prayed. Yeah, some of us have prayed it a lot. And I think back on my life, and like, I'm so glad God didn't answer that prayer all those times. Like, I would be divorced like 20 times, and probably be dead because one of them would have killed me for sure. I mean, you know, because it just wouldn't have worked. You know, it just wasn't the one. And even though they looked like it at the time, and we prayed that it would be, it just wasn't. But see, listen, some of us have been praying some very serious prayers. I mean, we've been praying for someone that's very sick to get well. And God hasn't answered that prayer. Why? And some of us seriously have prayed for our marriages. And they don't get better. And in some cases, they've gotten worse and divorce has come. Why didn't God answer that prayer that you prayed? Some of us have been praying for a brand new job because the one we got, we think sucks, you know? And I can say that from the stage, yes. So we think it and we believe it. And we were like, why? Why, God, why don't you give me a new job? And he's not answered, and we're like, why? Why aren't you answering my prayer? Some of us have prayed, you know, for that person in our lives that we know needs a relationship with God, and we've prayed, and like, God just seems to have not done anything and moved. In fact, that person's gotten worse and farther away from him, and we're like, God, why aren't you answering my prayers? We've been praying all sorts of prayers for God to do some big things, and he hasn't answered yet. Why hasn't he? Well, today I want us to unpack it and begin to look at some reasons why he may not have answered our prayers, so that we can begin to then look at our lives and line up some things that may be off kilter that need to be in place for him to be able to do the things that we've been praying for him to do. And so today, let's spend some time, the few moments or a lot of moments that we may have together, let's just pray while we're listening, while we're talking. Let's really begin to ask him to show us why he maybe hasn't answered some of our prayers. Here's what we've got to look at first. We've got to look at what matters in our prayers. What matters most to God when we pray? The first thing is that our relationships matter. Our relationships matter. If you're taking notes, you may want to write that down. If you want to follow along on YouVersion Live, that's a great place to go. On your program, there's instructions there to get you there, but you can follow right along. Your relationships matter. They're key. And so we need to understand that. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 and 25 says this: therefore, this is Jesus talking, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is also in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. He says you've got to forgive. You've got to make sure that your relationship is, that your relationships around you are where they need to be. God's showing us through Jesus' words that, listen, if somebody's wronged us, we need to be willing to be forgiving people. If we've wronged somebody else, we need to make sure that we're asking for forgiveness. It's a key part to the whole piece of and purpose of what God has for us. We've got to be able to be forgiving people. You can't say you love God while you hate your brother. You can't say you love God while you're holding something over somebody. Those two things don't jive together. We've got to be able to say we're forgiven and that we are forgiving. So many people carry bitterness and unforgiveness, and it begins to get in the way of them being able to have this communication with God. He's saying, listen, you need to be forgiving. You know, I've got two girls, a 5-year-old and a 12-year-old, and they're sisters, okay? They're typical sisters. They don't always get along. I mean, I know they're preacher's kids and they're expected to, but listen, they're not perfect, okay? And their daddy's not perfect, so they're just out of luck. But the fact is they often get at each other. You know, one of them's messing with the other. One of them's got, you know, playing with one of them's Barbies or whatever. I know my 12-year-old's going to kill me for saying that. But they, you know, there's something always going on with them. And so in our day and time, you know, when I was a kid, man, it was like my mom and dad would, you know, they would not let me watch the Justice League or you know, I'd have to go to my room and I'd be grounded. And now in 2015, what do we do? We take away the iPad, right? You know, that's how we punish our kids. When they don't get along, they want to play on the iPad. They want to play their games. They want to do their thing. But when they don't get along, I punish them by taking away the iPad, okay? That's like the most dreaded thing in the world around my house. But what happens is when their relationship isn't working, then there's consequences to that. They don't get what they want. They don't get to enjoy the benefits of and the really steps up in life that they want because there's a problem in their relationship. And so the same works for us. Our Heavenly Father wants us to treat others with respect and to treat others well. He wants us to have good relationships around us and to be as forgiving as He has. Think about this. Think about how many times we've been forgiven for the stuff in our lives. Think about how many times we've made mistakes when we've fallen short of the standard that God has for us and that He has been willing to forgive us. You know, He says if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. So all we have to do when we mess up, when we sin, and when we fall short, is to confess it to Him and acknowledge it, repent of it, which is to turn away. But He says He is faithful and just to do that. That means He basically obligates Himself to forgive us when we ask for it. Now, if He's willing to forgive us that way, I mean, really, I know it's tough, and I know there's difficult circumstances, and I know forgiveness can come, and there's still consequences. I get all that stuff. But shouldn't we be able to forgive? Shouldn't we be able to say things we're good because I understand what forgiveness is? It's tough. But we've, in our minds and in our humanness, we've got to be able to do that according to what God has laid out there for us. And so if our prayers aren't being answered, we need to ask that question. Am I forgiving? Are my relationships around me, are they good? Am I being that loving, forgiving person that God wants me to be? Listen, this is a difficult thing. It's not always easy, and especially when it comes to relationships that are really close to us. And one of those is husband and wife. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Now, don't get all bent out of shape over the weaker vessel thing. I'm not preaching to grab your wife by the hair and drag her around. That is not what we're talking about. Listen, men, we've been given a responsibility. We've been given, we like to take the head of the household as some dominating kind of thing. Listen, we got to be scared to death of the consequences of not being the head of our household. It's a big deal. God has called us to lead our house and to lead our house the way that He asked us to, and that's a huge responsibility. And I don't get it right all the time. I'm just going to be straight up with you. But the reality is we need to live our lives and manage our households well. And so He says to treat them because they are heirs with us. They are equal heirs when it comes to the kingdom of God. The heirs with the grace of life so that your prayers may not be hindered. If you're being a jerk to your wife, don't expect your prayers to be answered. It's just straight up. If you're treating your wife without the honor and respect she's due, you can't expect it to be the way that you want it to be. We need to love our wives, and we need to honor them and respect them. Wives, don't be elbowing him. You know, I see you, so many of you want to, like right now. Like you just want to fire one off. But listen, I believe that's a two-way street. I believe that if you want him to be respected and honored, it's a two-way street. We got to respect and honor each other. But guys, that doesn't put us off the hook of the key responsibility of leading our households well. But we need to be able to love each other and respect each other. So we got to make sure that the relationships in our life are right if we want God to do what He wants to do in our lives. Here's the second thing. That our motives matter. So our relationships matter and our motives matter. James 4:3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. See, the motives that we carry when we go and go to prayer, they matter to God. The New Testament really makes puts a light on prayers with wrong motives. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, they were really known for their prayers out in public. They wanted people to hear them and see them, and they wanted to make a spectacle out of their prayers. And so their prayers became more for the people around them than they did for the person that, to the one they should be praying to and talking to. And it was all about, hey, look at me. How did that prayer go? You know, did I do a good job? Do you think I impressed everybody around me? When the reality was is that prayer is not for the people around you. I can't, one of the things when people come up and like, man, that was a nice prayer, Pastor. I don't want to be congratulated for a nice prayer because I'm not praying. I'm not talking to you. I don't want your appreciation. I want God's ear. I want him to be the one that I'm communicating with. And so we have to be careful in our prayers that we're not praying for the people around us, but that we're truly communicating with God. He wants our motives to be pure. Unless, you know, so many of us, I know for me personally, I've prayed with wrong motives many times. You know, I have to be careful how I pray for our church because I don't want to grow a church that puts me on a pedestal. I don't want a church that makes me look good, and I don't even want to grow a church that if I left tomorrow that would fall. I want to be part of a church that grows because God's moving in the hearts and the lives of the people. Listen, we're the church. If these walls all fell down today, hopefully they would fall that way. But if they all fell, then the church would last because we're it. And we're what matters when it comes to that. So we need to be able to have this communication to God because we want to be able to communicate with him with pure motives so that he allows us to be all that he wants us to be. He wants us to have these motives that put his will first. Many times, you know, we've prayed with those unselfish or with those selfish motives. We've prayed so that we get what we want. I mean, single ladies, come on. Y'all prayed to be the bachelorette. You know you have. Come on, you know, a whole house full of dudes trying to win your affections. You know that you would want it. Guys, you've been praying those prayers too. You want to win the lottery. You know, you want that new bass boat, you know, or maybe you've been praying to win Dancing with the Stars. That's a whole nother prayer. But, you know, the reality is that you've been praying selfish motives. You've been praying for things to happen so that you are the one who benefits. You're praying so that you're the one that's lifted up. We all do it. Come on. I know that for me, I do it way too often. You know, we often do it and don't even think twice about it. It's not even something that we're consciously doing, but when we really strip down why we want things to happen, it's for us. And so we got to be careful because God says that our motives matter. Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes. I mean, we think we see things the way we're supposed to see them, but the Lord weighs the spirit. He knows where stuff's coming from in our lives. When we try to fake it, he knows. When we're praying and we say, you know, oh God, you know, if you would just give me, you know, that brand new Lamborghini, you know, I could drive all over town and people would see it. And when they see it and it draws their attention, I could tell them about Jesus. You know, no. You know better. That's not what you want. You just want to be seen. You want to be seen in it. You don't want to tell them about Jesus. You just want that car. We do it. But the reality is God says our motives matter. He knows our heart. He knows what's best. And he's not going to answer those prayers that are wrong for us because we know he knows we can't handle it. The third thing, our relationships matter and our motives matter. The third thing is the way we live matters. The way that we live matters. We've got to be careful to understand that we have responsibilities to live the life that he's called us to. Now, I've heard people say, you know, man, I need so-and-so to pray for me because I can't pray like they can. You know, I've heard people say, you know, my prayers could never be as powerful as Billy Graham's prayers. Well, let me just tell you this. They may not be as eloquent. They may not be as elaborate as his can be, but here's the reality. They can certainly be as powerful as his. Because the power doesn't come from Billy Graham. It doesn't come from his eloquence or his elaborate words. It comes from the same source that your answered prayers will come from, and that's from God. The same source that's available to him is available to you. And so we don't need other people to always pray for us. We just need to be genuine in the prayers that we pray, because the same power that inhabits those prayers inhabits your prayers. We need to understand that. So we need to be willing to come together and pray. James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Listen, another translation says that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That means it's got power to it and it's effective. It does what it's supposed to do because of who brings the power. And we need to understand that he has that for us. It doesn't say the power of an unrighteous person. It doesn't say the power of a casual Christian. It doesn't say the power of somebody who wears all the Christian t-shirts. It doesn't say the person who's memorized the most scripture. It says the power, the prayer of a righteous person. That means somebody who's living their life as best they can, like Jesus Christ. None of us are perfect. The reality is that we've got to live as much like Jesus as possible. Every area of our lives has got to reflect him. And we need to be able to do that together, because the way that you live matters. Now, think about when you go to help somebody. If you see the guy standing on the side of the street corner with a, you know, we'll work for food, who you've offered work to for food, and he won't work, now, are you really going to help him? What about the guy that you know, though, that's working like three jobs trying to put food on the table for his family, who's doing everything he can to keep the roof over them, food on the table, and everything else? Don't you think you're probably a little bit more willing to help that guy? The fact is that we need to understand that the way that we live matters to how God answers our prayers. I'm not saying, though, that if you're a little bit more righteous than the person beside you, if you think you carry your Christianity just a little bit better than that person, that you're going to get everything that you want. I'm not saying that if you try to be the self-righteous person who it's all about them, and if you just keep yourself just proper and just clean, and you come to church every week so it's checked off your schedule, that God's going to do everything that you want him to do. Listen, it's not going to work that way. The reality is we have a responsibility to know how God wants us to live, and we got to do the best that we can to live that out every day of our lives. Be acknowledging of what he expects, and then to live that part out. We don't get everything we want because we live righteously. And listen, if you've blown it, it doesn't mean that God's done with you either. You need to understand that there is forgiveness for all of us. So if your life hasn't been all that it needs to be, if you feel like your prayers aren't being answered because you haven't lived the way you need to live, listen, there is forgiveness for you. He says, ask, and it'll be given. And we need to understand that. So we need to see that the way that we live matters, along with our relationships matter. And so the fourth thing is that our faith matters. Our faith matters. James 1, verses 6 and 7 say this, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Your faith matters. What's cool to me is that God seems to respond so much when we come with a simple, childlike faith. When we just believe him and trust him. See, if somebody's got a bad track record, we're probably going to doubt them when they say something to us. But listen, God has a perfect track record. He's always come through. He's always done everything that he said he would do. And so we can trust him. We don't have to doubt him. We can know that his word is true. But what's happened is so many of us have come and we've educated ourselves out of believing that God can really do the things that he says he can do. We've begun to tell ourselves that and to do away with this childlike faith because we've said, you know what, God, I don't think you can do it. And so I'm not even going to believe you can do it. I'm not even going to ask you to do it because I don't think you can. And let me just tell you that the childlike faith that we had one time You know, I love to go down to, you know, when I'm around my girls and some of your kids when they pray. Man, it's so cool to hear the things that they ask for. You know, they ask for stuff that we would never ask for as adults. But they ask it and they believe it because they have that trust. And we see God do things because of their prayers, because they've asked these simple things, believing that he'll do them. And it's powerful to see. But for some of us, we've stopped asking him to do even the simplest because we just stopped believing. Let me just tell you that your faith matters. He wants you to trust him. I love the story in the scriptures where the two guys came running to Jesus. They came running up to him and they were like, "Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." And then in Matthew 9, verse 29, it says that Jesus, he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about this," because he didn't want the press. He didn't want the paparazzi. He didn't want all the credit for it. He just believed, and when they believed in him, he acted in faith and touched, and they opened their eyes and they could see. He healed them because they believed, and they understood that they could ask him for that and it would be done. Listen, that same Jesus that did that 2,000 years ago can still do that kind of thing today. We've got it into the church. We've begun to just believe that if the doctors don't do it and the medicine doesn't do it, then it's not going to get done. But let me just tell you, I believe that you can ask God to heal someone and it'll be done. I heard a story this past week of a woman, a husband and wife, young couple. The husband was diagnosed with cancer. And it was devastating. They were a newlywed couple and things were just, you know, just getting started for them. And they went in and he had some symptoms going on. They did some tests and ran some scans, and they found a tumor in his brain. And he began that process, and you can imagine what that would be like to hear that word cancer and being young and newly wed, married and just ready for life to get going. And here comes this devastating diagnosis. And they began to pray, and their church began to pray. And so they go in, they begin treatment, and about halfway through, there was some kind of problem that happened, and they go in for a scan, and as they scanned him, that morning they had this incredible time of prayer for their church. They called everybody together and they prayed, and as they ran the scan that afternoon, do you believe that tumor was gone? It was completely gone. It wasn't just smaller. It wasn't just kind of shrunk or whatever. It was completely gone. Now listen, I'm not one of those that believes that that happens all the time. And I believe that God uses all kinds of different methods to make that happen. But I believe in this situation, there was no other reason that could be thought of other than God decided that that was going to be no more. And he was healed. And for some of us, we're facing some things, and listen, we got to be able to have the faith that if that's how God wants to do it, he'll do it. If it's not, then we'll go down the path that he has for us. But I truly believe that he has the power, the same power today he had 2,000 years ago. For some of us, it may look like, it may not be a cancer tumor, it just may be a financial problem. And we need to pray that God will do that, not just pray that money comes, but maybe we just need to pray that we get better with our money. Not that we get, our relationship gets better. Now, let's just don't pray that it just gets better, but let's take some steps that it gets better. Maybe it's counseling. Maybe it's some things that you need to do. Maybe it's a change in you that needs to happen so that your relationship gets better. We need to be able to believe that God can move in our hearts, and maybe it's not a cancer he needs to heal. Maybe it's just a bad, stinking attitude. Now, I don't know about you, but there's times where I just need to be healed of a bad, stinking attitude. And I can pray and know that he can change me from that point of view. And for some of us, we just need to be able to accept it. Our faith matters, believing that he can do the things that we ask him to do. So our relationships matter, our motives matter, our faith matters, how we live matters. And the fifth thing is that God's will matters. God's will matters. 1 John chapter 5, Verse 14 says this, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So a lot of people have prayed for a long time some pretty interesting prayers. You know, there's some pretty interesting teaching that kind of goes on when it comes to prayer. It's the old name it and claim it kind of prayer. You know, the blab it and grab it. You know, see it and be it kind of stuff. Where we just say, well, you know what? If you'll just pray it, it'll happen. If you'll just claim this, it'll happen. But the reality is what we claim and what we name and what we blab and what we see isn't always what God's will is for us. We can pray lots of prayers, but the reality is we always have to keep God's will in line and in mind for what we want. The fact is that we need to understand that he may have something better for us. Some of us have prayed for sickness to go away, and it hasn't gone away. Some of us have prayed to get better, and it just hasn't happened. Why, God, why didn't you answer that prayer? Why didn't you make me better? The reality is there's something in that for you or for someone else to learn. There's a reality in that there's something to help you be better at you because of what you have to go through. There's a reason why he's allowed you to be able to go through that, to trust him, and to be able to see something in that you'd never see any other way. To be able to understand that his grace is sufficient. To understand that his power is available. To understand that he is there for you, that when you're at your weakest, that he's at his strongest. And we need to understand that there is something there to learn and to take away from it. I remember several years ago when Kelly and I were expecting, and we were about 5 months in, and things had been going pretty normal for those years. We'd had some miscarriages, and we were on our way, doing really well. Things were good, and then all of a sudden, some things began to change. And on Mother's Day weekend, Kelly went in for some testing and realized that there was no heartbeat and that we had lost the baby. And I remember, though, during that time, I remember praying. And I was praying for God to allow that baby to be fine and that it would just be one of those things we just got to get through. And I just remember praying those prayers and just believing that he could change it. Whatever was going on, he could change it in an instant. And I was praying, just, you know, making sure that, you know, one of my things that I always do is I always pray, you know, God, first off, before I say anything else, I want you to search me. And I want you to make sure there's nothing in me that keeps my prayers from being heard. I just want that out of the way. Because if you know me, I know there's always something in the way because I'm not perfect. And so I always begin that way. And I remember praying, just, you know, God, I want you to hear me. I don't want me to be in the way. And as I prayed and asked God to change that situation and then come into the place where we hear that, you know, the child is no longer living, it was an incredible emotional time. You know, but my relationships were right. My motives were right. I really wanted that child to live. I wanted it to be able to be, you know, vibrant and to fulfill its purpose that God had. And so I just prayed, and my faith was there because I believed God could do it. But it wasn't his will. So Ashton passed away, and you know, we had to go through the rest of the procedures and all of that stuff to get through that. But I just remember in those moments, you know, God, why? Why in the world would you not let that baby live? And we're so far along. But you know, I didn't get it in the beginning. And I really struggled with what was his will in those moments? What in the world was he thinking? Was he, you know, was he not paying attention? You know, I began to have some doubt. And as I went through those moments, it was quite a while before it ever began to make sense, because then we began to have opportunities to be around other people who had experienced the same thing we had just experienced. And had it not been for us going through the pain of those moments, that we would have never been able to minister to them the way that He wanted us to. That we'd have never been able to help them get through their moment had we not experienced that ourselves. You know, it would have been just another person trying to understand the pain. It would have been just one of those people saying, you know, I know how you feel, and they don't really know how you feel. But so many times since then, I've been able to minister to people because of that pain, because His will was something greater. His will was for me to be able to minister to people in the same situation. And it's still difficult to look at sometimes and to think about. But the reality is now knowing that there was a purpose, that He had something better for us, and it allows me to deal with it more and to be able to use it for His glory. I think about when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He was about to be betrayed and to be hung on the cross to die for us, that He prayed this incredible prayer that we find in Luke chapter 22, verse 42. It says, "Father, if You are willing, remove this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Yours be done." And there appeared to Him an angel from heaven strengthening Him. You see, sometimes we got to be willing to pray some very difficult prayers, and we got to be willing to go through some very difficult stuff for us to be all that God wants us to be. But we got to be able to pray that prayer, "God, listen, it's not about me. It's about Your will and what You want to happen." And that's a difficult place to go, but it's the right place to go. And it's the place that will eventually bring the most healing. It's the place that will bring the most peace. It's the place that will bring the most ability to trust Him. We've got to be able to pray that kind of prayer. So those are the things that matter when we pray. That our relationships matter, and our motives matter, and the way we live matters, and our faith matters, and God's will matters. But when it comes down to having our prayers answered, what matters most? What is it that matters the most? You must have an honest relationship with God through Jesus. You gotta have a relationship with God through Jesus. If you want your prayers answered, you want your prayers heard, that's where it begins. You see, people sometimes it's somewhat debatable, it's somewhat questionable, I guess, but here's the reality. I believe that God hears the prayers of someone who's lost, that's unsaved. There's only two prayers that He hears from that kind of person. There's only two prayers that He hears. One is obviously the prayer of salvation. If you understand that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sin, that he died on that cross, giving Himself so that your sins could be forgiven, that He died there for you and your sin, then He says, if you believe that He died for you, that is a salvation. If you believe that He died on the cross, then understanding that He was taken off the cross, put into the tomb, and on the third day raised again. So not only do you experience forgiveness of your sin, but now you experience the eternity that He has for you, then you'll be saved. See, the reality is that is when the relationship with God begins, that you understand He gave Himself for you, was died on that cross, was buried and raised again. When you believe that and when you pray that prayer, understanding that and acknowledging that, He hears that prayer. The other prayer that I believe He hears from a lost person is when a lost person says, "God, reveal Yourself to me." I believe that if we will ask Him as someone who's never been saved to reveal Himself to us, He will do that. You see, I know that He will because I prayed that prayer. And I've seen so many people pray that prayer to be able to understand Him and to be able to acknowledge that He truly exists, so that you can truly give yourself to Him. And so I believe that He answers those two prayers, but the Bible says that all other prayers from a lost person, He doesn't hear. He doesn't answer. So John chapter 9, verse 31 says that we know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, God listens to him. Listen, today, if you've never begun that relationship with Him, this isn't a This isn't one of those messages where you can hang your head and walk out of here feeling low. This is one of those messages where you can walk out of here with your chin held high with a lot of hope in your life. If you've been wondering why your prayers haven't been heard and you understand this morning that it's because you've never begun a relationship with Him, listen, there's good news. There's great news. Because now you can understand why He hasn't answered them, and now you can begin to have those prayers answered. And it begins with a relationship with Him. To acknowledge that He died for you on the cross, that He was buried and raised again so that you're not only forgiven here, but you're forgiven for all of eternity. That today you can leave here with the knowing that when you pray, that you can have your relationship right, you can have your motives right, you can have your faith right, you can have all of that put in place and know that He hears and answers your prayers. Today, maybe you've been a believer. Maybe you've been someone who's made that decision, and yet you've been struggling with why don't you answer my prayers, God? Maybe today you got to take a little time to spend looking at your relationships. Maybe you got to spend a little time looking at your motives. Maybe today you just need to spend some time looking at where your faith is. Maybe you need to look at how you've been living your life. Begin to ask Him to show you where you've been missing and where you've been falling short. And allow Him to come along and show you that so that you can make that right and begin to see your prayers be answered. Listen, we've all struggled with why wasn't my prayer answered. And today we have the framework to begin to dig through and allow Him to show us why. This week I'm going to ask you to take a next step with me. I'm going to ask you to strengthen your prayer life. To strengthen your prayer life by beginning to look at those relationships, to look at your motives, to look at how you're living your life, and look at how your faith is in Him. And then just begin to acknowledge that His will is there for you and for the best of you. If you're willing to do that with me this week, I'm going to ask you, just take out your program and mark that, and let's begin to pray together, asking Him to show us where it is that we need to look first. Let's pray. God, thank You so much for bringing us here to this place together. God, thank You so much that You do hear prayers. God, that when we have a relationship with You, that You hear our prayers. God, today we know that You answer prayers. But God, we know that when our relationship with You is messed up, when our relationship with others is not where it needs to be, that God, there's something between us. God, when we don't have our motives lined up to be what You want, when we're selfish and when we focus on ourselves, God, you don't answer those prayers. God, when we are living our lives contrary to what You ask from us, God, we're not going to see the things happen that we want to see. God, when we doubt You, God, I know that You can still show us, but God, when we have faith, that You begin to answer and move in our lives and You do the things that we ask of You, that we demonstrate that we believe You and we trust You. God, today we come and we acknowledge Your will for us, that You have our best intentions and You have everything, a purpose for us laid out. So God, today we just ask that You would reveal to us what's going on in our lives. God, maybe everything's good. Maybe our lives are good. Maybe everything's happening the way it's supposed to happen. Maybe our prayers are being answered. And God, we should be thankful. And we should be praying for those around us to be able to experience the same thing. But God, most of all, if someone's here today and never begun that relationship with You, God, will You move in their lives? And will You draw them to You? God, we can trust You and we can worship You because how great You are. So God, move in this place this morning and move in our lives and our hearts so that we may see You for who You are and have a relationship with You the way that we're meant to have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.